Again, I want to say what a joy it is to be here in Mala. I felt that this morning, the verses we read, the first hymn we sang, I taught about Colossians chapter 1. And Bill got up and read it. I want us to read again those verses. I would like to bring 8 glories of Christ that is found in these verses. Before that, I would like to read from verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the glorified man, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learn, of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant or bondman, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the full with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, or the power of his glory, unto all patience or endurance and longsuffering with joyfulness. Colossians. The hymn that we commenced this morning with, the breaking of bread, and these verses that were read, assumed a certain position. It assumed that we have crossed the Jordan. It assumed that we have come into the good of my death and my resurrection with Christ. There is where we have come. This is where we want to begin. We want to begin not in Egypt, where we have been delivered and brought out by blood and by power. We don't want to speak about coming through the wilderness, where we had the manna, the pillar of cloud, and the pillar of fire. We want to come on the other side. So we are assuming that all of us are saved. All of us have crossed the Red Sea, Christ's death and resurrection for us. We have gone through the wilderness experientially. And now we are on the other side of the Jordan. And the 12 stones were taken out of the Jordan, and 12 stones were placed in. We are on resurrection ground. That's our position. And the truth of the book of Colossians is this. What the book of Hebrews is to the Jew or the Hebrew is what Colossians is for the Gentiles. For the Jew, God had to wean him off of sight to bring him to faith. From an earthly sanctuary to a heavenly sanctuary. From an earthly priest to a heavenly priest. From law to grace. From earth to heaven. From a carnal sacrifice to a spiritual sacrifice. But when we come to Colossians, it is where God is using what was read this morning to free me, to free you from the philosophy of men, from the rudiments of this world, from the politics, from all the way men thinks. God says, I am going to present the book of Colossians that we may, it's really a book of freedom. When you come to it, did that I may be freed, chapter 2, from the traditions of men, from worshiping of angels, from the judgment of men, from things that were legitimate, but yet still God is bringing us into something that is so wonderful, so grand. But God is saying it's not something, it's someone. And the verses that were read is very heartwarming, brethren. To think of yourself, you were in the Jordan. And you were taken out and placed on resurrection ground. But then you were placed in there and the water came over again. So you and I, we are gone from the eye of God. So what God is seeing is a new person in Christ. We are dead and risen with Christ. Not seated. We are risen according to the book, the teaching of the book of Colossians. In Ephesians, we are in heaven in Him. Represented in heaven in Christ. But in Colossae, Christ is represented in us on earth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Saints, it's heartwarming to think there's a divine person in you and I. And now the apostle is writing. He had never been to Colossae. And he's writing and he heard of their faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, they believe that this glorified man was great enough to bring to pass the truth that they had learned. Here he is in heaven and glorified there. They ate of the old corn of the land after the morrow, parched corn in the south same day. They were feasting upon him. Saints, we can feast upon him. We can enjoy Christ now. Yes, that's why the Spirit of God has come. He is the earnest of our inheritance. It means he can give me a present enjoyment of what shall be mine in totality in a day to come. So we can share in it collectively and jointly, but also we can enjoy it immediately and ultimately at the end. So the Spirit of God has come. And he has come to take the things of Christ and make them precious to us. So now here is Epaphras coming back to the Apostle Paul and his company and telling them, listen, the saints have laid hold upon this man in the glory. A glorified man. But not only so, their love for all the saints. Since we had fellowship downstairs and wonderful. We just stand up and laugh and we shared a little tea and cookies and some strawberries and bananas and all these stuff. That's wonderful fellowship. Wonderful fellowship. But if we had none of those things, what will draw us together, brethren? If food wasn't there, you know what will draw us together? Christ. We can enjoy Christ together. Then he spoke about the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Saints, this world is not our home. And I believe a lot of Christians have lost sight of it. We have lost sight, you see, in the US of A. Christians don't want to suffer anymore. We pray for those in other lands, how they are suffering. But it's good for them, I tell you, saints. We need a little bit here. Because the more you suffer, is the brighter you shine. Indeed, because we are not only called to believe, we are called to suffer for his name's sake. So now, the sufferings that are coming, indeed, is it allowed of God? Because I tell you, saints, when, I believe it was Alexander Solzhenitsyn, if I pronounce his name right, when he was expelled from Russia, he came here to live in the United States. And he says, you know, we suffering, but the Christianity is striving. But he says, I come here now and have a new battle. The battle is, the place is too prosperous. I don't know what to do. Everything is so easy to get. So he says, what happened? We are desensitized in a sense of we have false values because of the fact we have nothing to suffer for. So when you get to Laodicea, we have need of nothing. What prayer meeting you telling me about? You know, come to prayer meeting. We have need of nothing. We are rich. Indeed, saints, this is our danger. So he turning to the Colossian saints and says, your hope is laid up for you in heaven. Indeed there, because the Lord has promised he's going to come and will not tarry. He says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. This is our hope. Our hope is the coming of the Lord. And maybe tonight. He may come tonight. And I'll say, even so come, Lord Jesus God, as the Spirit and the Bride cries. So Epaphras brought back this report to the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul now says, This Epaphras was a faithful brother, faithful fellow servant, verse 7, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declare unto you, unto us, your love in the Spirit. He says, when Paul heard that, he says, for this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. You could imagine this prayer meeting. Someone praying, not for me to have a car, not for me to meet my next bill, not for me to, indeed, for traveling mercies, but praying for me that I may be filled with the knowledge of his will. What God purposed for me, that is what I want to know. And you know what? What is a blessing, brethren? Someone went home to be the Lord. And you know what they did? They left my wife and I in the will. Now, I don't know how much it is. All it is, they let me know. That they meant making me know. I was thinking about you before I died. What seems to think? God was thinking about you and I before the foundation of the world. And now what he is doing, he has opened up his heart and letting me know and you what his thoughts were in the countless ages of eternity. I think that's wonderful. It's not when you got saved, when you came into this world, that the Father, that divine person starts speaking and thinking about you. It's before the world began. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, my prayer for you is that you may know, that you may, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now this wisdom, how God went about to bring me into the good of what he thought about me. It's a miracle. You know what he had to do? His son had to become a man. His son had to live here. His son had to die. And then rose again. And then the Spirit of God has come. And indeed come out to us to help me with this spiritual understanding. To understand what God has done. No. Understanding in the Old Testament means I learn from the unhappy experiences of others. Or from my own unhappy experiences, I get understanding. I don't have to get drunk to realize, boy, look what alcohol does. I see it in others. I don't have to do certain things because it says, look, the evidence are there. But this spiritual understanding is when I understand what God has done for me. I tell you, saints, it's so heartwarming to think this God of the universe has worked. And after I learn, I says, is only God could come about and thought about this way of accomplishing his purpose. Then he continues. I can't dwell on this because I have to finish by 12:30. Hear what he says. He says, with this will, the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. This knowledge of his will is going to help me to walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. One is the will of God, but now we have the knowledge of God. It's one thing, brethren, to know indeed his will, but it's another thing to know God, to know him personally. Which one is more wonderful? Indeed, the second. Because we have, indeed, the blessing. But a lot of people want the blessing, but they don't want the blesser. So what God is saying, I am showing you the blessing. I'm opening it up. But also, I want you to know me. I want you to understand me. I want you to know my person. So now, how am I going to know God? What is he going to do that I may know him? It opens up in the verses that were given to us this morning. He tells us in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Saints, A day is coming. Let's start running through these things quickly. A day is coming where God is going to put everything under the headship of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, 9 and 10. He is going to rule and reign. The universe was placed into the under the headship of Christ. I could remember, you know, when Adam was born, I'm talking Steve's son. I was here. And I said to Steve, is this the last Adam? Steve laughed. Because we had the first Adam, which is Adam in the garden. We had the last Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Since what God is saying, he is bringing to us, there's an inheritance all of us are going to have. It's reserved for us. And we are kept for it according to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's reserved. We cannot lose it. And what happens? The testator, the Lord Jesus, who testified about it, died to seal it so it cannot be changed. Oh, what a blessing. I will inherit with the rest of the saints. And the Spirit of God has come out now to tell me about this enjoyment. Why I shouldn't enjoy it now? Why I'm waiting until I get to glory? No, the Spirit of God, who is the earnest, is saying to me, enjoy your inheritance now. Yes, he's going to rule and reign. The true Joseph, indeed, will administrate things for God. But also the true Solomon, indeed, his glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Since this is my portion, he has made us fit. He has made us, we are qualified to enjoy this. But then he continues in verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. This has taken place already. Not we are waiting to get. We have been transferred. We have been transferred from the authority of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son of his love. What governs us there? Indeed, his love is not the kingdom of the Father. The kingdom of the Father is the heavenly side of the kingdom. It's not the kingdom of God. We are there already because we are born again. Indeed, except a man be born again, he cannot see or he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, but this is the kingdom of the Son of his love. The most intimate part of the kingdom. It's the same kingdom, but this is the intimate side of it. We have been brought there, translated. And this has, first, it tells us he's the son of the Father's love. Then we have in verse 15, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's not the work he's emphasizing, brethren. It's the person in whom God is bringing before us how great this man is. This Christ in whom they believe. Look at him. Eh? He has translated you in the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has also, indeed, let us know, indeed, he has made us fit to inherit with him. Now God going to describe him. He says, I want to tell you now how great this man is, in whom you have placed your trust. He is the image of the invisible God. God himself, John chapter 1 verse 1. Then it tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. He is God over all, blessed forever. Philippians chapter 2. We don't have to quote these things. Hebrews chapter 1. He's God himself. And he says, imagine this. This one in whom we have placed our trust and in whom we believe and we have laid hold upon is God himself. The invisible God. And I said it. God is not invisible anymore. Indeed, he endured Moses as seeing him who is invisible. Saints, listen here. Indeed, God has been fully displayed and God has been seen in Christ. So now we can say we can see the invisible God. Where? In the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. He that have seen me have seen the Father. But not only so, he says he's the firstborn of every creation. It means he takes the number one place. Firstborn means number one. It is like when I worked in New York. You know, I don't know if I tell you this, but I'll tell you again. We were building a building on Fifth Avenue, and beautiful building. The owner was Mr. Ronson. Mr. Ronson came, and when he came, he asked to get in the building, and you know, the security guard said to him, "You cannot get in unless you have an ID. You cannot get in here." Mr. Ronson says, "Please, would you let me get through?" "You hear what I said? No ID, you cannot get through." He says, "Anyway, call for the manager, please." He called for the manager. Manager came down, and he said to him, "This man trying to keep me out of here." He said, "But open the door. Open the door. You know, is that this Mr. Ronson? Mr. Ronson, I didn't know." He got fired. It was his building. When he came, he take the number one place. Because it's his. The Lord Jesus, when the Son, when he came into the world, he take the number one place. Because verse 16 and 17 tells us, he is the creator. So it belongs to him. And he uphold all things by, he keep it in harmony, brethren. This is the person in whom we have placed our trust. Then he tells us in verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. Not only is the Son of his love, the image of the invisible God, and the creator, or the one who takes the number one place as he comes in, but it tells us he is the head of the body, the church. It's one church, of which all of us are members. And this morning, indeed, we remembered that in the breaking of the bread. One loaf, which speaks of every believer, no matter where they are. They are part of the body of Christ. But Christ is head, number one. No one man show. It's him and him alone. The headship of Christ in relation to the body. Nourishment, direction. Then he tells us he is the beginning. Who is the beginning? And this letter of Colossae was to be read in Laodicea. And when you read in the book of Revelation, it tells you he's the head. He's the beginning of the new creation. So here it's bringing out new creation. He is the beginning of it. We want to know what it would be like. Look at Christ. Then he says, the firstborn from the dead. If he's firstborn according to every creation, taking the number one place, he's the firstborn from the dead, who lives to die no more. Because Lazarus was raised and he died again. Okay? The widow's son was raised and died again. Jairus' daughter was raised and died again. But he is in the power of an endless life. He says that in all things, he must have the preeminence. Amen. What a Christ. That you may stand in not only in the knowledge of his will, but in the knowledge of who he is, God. But let me close with two. In chapter 2 and verse 6. We're reading in chapter 2 verse 2. That their hearts may be comforted, being knitted together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. This is the verse. Ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him. He is Christ Jesus, and he is the Lord. Okay? In Mr. Darby's translation, you will find it separated. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. So now, the Christ, it means God anointed man. The only person the Spirit of God came upon and abode when he was here. But then the Lordship of Christ. The Lordship of Christ, brethren, is something that is lost amongst us. The truth of the kingdom. Because sometimes people believe they could do as they please. They could, well, I have my own rights. And we live in the US of A. All of us have rights. I have rights. And coming over, I just came in yesterday. last night, I should say, last evening. But on the plane, I decided I'm going to look at one of these things they had video on the screen. And you know what a guy said? He got locked up. And he says, he called for the policeman. He said, I got rights. I have rights to a lawyer. I have rights to a phone call. And the policeman says, you're right. You have to give him a phone call. And he took the phone call. A true story. And knew who he called? The president. They didn't know who they locked up. And he called the president. And the president called the phone. And one policeman says, answered, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then he handed the phone. He said, he baloney. When he heard, he got sobered. In other words, brethren, when the Lordship of Christ is laid hold upon, I have no rights. I give it up to him. Mm. And this is something that is sobering to Christians. That I, the day I got saved, I may not know fully what it means. But the Lordship of Christ, whether we die, whether we live, we are the Lord's. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's not what I want, it's Lord. What is your will? What will you have me to do? Saints, this aspect or this feature of the glory of Christ needs to be preached amongst the brethren. I have no rights. So you can imagine, I came through the door. Yes, I surprised Steve and surprised Brother Bill. But the fact is, the Lord is not surprised. He's not surprised. The thing is, brethren, is to know this is the way the Lord tells you. This is the way you go ahead. And you follow, there will be tremendous blessing. One thing I fear is to be a Jonah. We sang it. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds of my. When I do his good will, he abides with me still. With all those that trust and obey. That's Lordship. May God help us to realize what a great, great Savior, a great man, if I should use that term, we have embraced Christ Jesus. May God bless us. For his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.